We're holding on Nun Hei Amud Beis by the Mishnah, the bottom of the Amud. One of the 18 cases we learned that a person is Chayiv Skila a couple of Mishnayos ago was a person who blasphemes Hashem, a Megadif. So now we're going to talk about those details. Throughout the Sugya, many times, instead of using openly the word that somebody blasphemes or curses Hashem, so a lot of times they'll use the words Birkas Hashem, but we understand that that's a euphemism. So the Mishnah says, "Hamagadif ain't chayiv ad sheyifaresh Hashem." He's not chayiv unless he actually speaks out clearly the name of Hashem. For example, Rashi says if you were to hear somebody else saying Hashem's name and then he goes and then curses, then that wouldn't make him chayiv. Presumably, Beis Din could give him makas maudus for such a thing, but not misa. There is a machlokas rishonim in this connection. Which names are we talking about? We'll talk about more in connection with the Gemara further on. That's going to talk about that distinguishes between Shema Mefodesh and various other names. The Rambam holds that this iser that the chi of Misa would be. Now it's like this. We're going to see. Well, so you know what? Let's learn the rest of the Mishnah and then we'll talk about this machlokas rishonim on it. Throughout all the days when the trial is going on, we use a kinui. We use like a nickname for Hashem instead of Hashem himself, because you don't want to have every time throughout the whole trial you're going to have over and over the Edom are going to have to be asked, "What did you hear?" And then they're going to have to say the same curse, the same blasphemy that this person said. We don't want to have to do that. So instead, they would use a kinui. They would use a substitute for Hashem's name. Rashi points out the basic meaning of the word kinui is a substitute for something else. It can be a euphemism. It can be something else like that. So they would say Yake Yosi es Yosi. So they would say that the person had said in his curse, you should say May Yosi strike Yosi. Now we're going to talk about in the Gemara that we're going to talk about in the Gemara. In order for a person to be chayev, it has to be that he cursed Hashem using another name of Hashem, as we're going to work out in the Gemara from the Psukim, how we know. So in other words, it's not just enough for him to mention Hashem's name. There has to be that he mentions the name of Hashem and repeats it, or one name and a different name, and says like they should fight one another or something like that. So instead, they would use the word Yosi as a placeholder for Hashem's name. Why Yosi specifically? Well, Rashi says because Yosi is four letters, the same as Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, and it's also Gematria Elikim. There's various interesting points about that the Rebbe's father, Rebbe Levi Yitzchak, and Rebbe Levi himself talk about various angles on that, various other considerations about the name Yosi. There's many places throughout Rebbe Levi's writings where he refers to Rebbe Yosi and explains on different angles. One thing he points out is not only is the name Yosi itself Gematria Elikim, but also the milui of it is, meaning, as we know, a word has a letter has a milui. Yud is Yud Vav Dalad, for example. Vav is Vav Vav, etc. So if you add up the milui, just the milui itself of the letters, the Yud Vav for Yud, the Vav Yud for the letter Yud, the second Vav for the letter Vav, the Mem Chof for the letter Samach, etc., then you also come out with 86, which is the same Gematria Elikim. And there's various other points that Reb Levick makes in different places where therefore Reb Yossi represents Malchus, and therefore he represents Shem Elikim, that Reb also talks about in a couple of sichas and discusses different angles about it, about this point that Rabbi Yossi represents Malchus in Asiya, and that here, why is it important that it's the gematria of Shem Elikim according to the Rambam, which we'll talk about soon, that the chiyuv misa is only when he uses Shem Havaya or Shem Adonai, is because unlike those, Shem Elikim is more related to our world, which is why we can conjugate it. We can say Elikeinu and Elikeichem and things like that, which we can't do with the names Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, or Adonai, and therefore, appropriately, we're talking about a name that has the gematria of Elikim, because we're talking about coming down into our world. In any case, so the Mishnah is saying that throughout the entire trial, they would use Yosi as a placeholder for Hashem's name. Nigmar Adin, once it came the end of the Gmar Din, now they can't execute the person based on that the Edom, if he truly had said Yake Yosi es Yosi, obviously he's not Chayiv Misa for that. So there has to come a point when the Dayanim hear directly from the Edom that this is what he said. So Loihogan Makinui, they can't execute the person just based on the Makinui of Yossi. They have to at some point hear the actual words from the Edom themselves. Elamitzian Kolodim Lachutz. Rather, what they do is they send everybody else outside because it would be a gnai to have more people around than necessary when we get to this point to say a Birkas Hashem, to say a curse against Hashem like that in front of a lot of people. So like this, we have only the members of the Beis Din there and the Edim. And we ask the elder of the two Edim, and they the Yodim tell him, tell us now exactly what you heard. No kinuyim, no euphemisms, no placeholders or anything. We need to hear the exact words he said. So he says, the Dayanim, then when they hear that, now he's not doing it in order to curse Hashem, of course, he's doing it in order to say Eidos. But the fact is that now they've heard a blasphemy of Hashem. So they stand up and they tear Kriya, V'loy Ma'achin, and they never sew up that rip in their garment permanently. We'll learn the details of that din. We'll learn later on Daf Samach Bez Hashem the details of that din. That when a person hears blasphemy of Hashem like that, then he has to rip his clothes, and that he has to stand in order to do that. The second aid, instead of repeating the same thing, he just says, "I heard the same thing as he did." Vashlishi, and if there happens to be a third aid, because as we learned earlier in the Masechta, it's possible for there to be a group of three or more aidim, so then he would also say, Afani Kamoihu, he would also have to say that I heard the exact same thing. It has to be that each of them says that, because otherwise we don't have an Eidos. But the point is, each one of them has to say that, but instead of repeating it each time, each of them just says, I heard the same thing. The Yerushalmi actually takes a different view of the matter a little bit. The Yerushalmi learns that even then the Dayanim don't actually say the actual words that the person said, Yaka Yosi Es Yosi, for example, replacing Yosi with the actual names of Hashem he used. Rather, the Yerushalmi learns that one of them said that he says the name of Hashem, the actual name of Hashem, such as Yudke Vavke, and then he says, and I heard him saying a curse about this name, saying such and such. So that way he's not actually saying out as one sentence the actual curse, but the Mefoshim discussed whether the Bavli would agree with that. Apparently not, since it doesn't bring that point at all. Okay. So the Gemara says Tana, we learn it a Braisa, Ad Sheyivarach Shem B'Shem. In order to be Chayev, he has to be blaspheming Hashem's name using another name. So like in the Mishnah, we had Yaka Yosi Es Yosi. So it would mean that he would say that one name of Hashem should hit or otherwise fight with or whatever, another name, the same or another name of Hashem. Now here you have... So here, based on the continuation of the Gemara, is where you have the machloikas on this between the Rambam and the Ramah. The Ramah is the same Yad Ramah. This is the author of the Yad Ramah that we've been quoting throughout the Masechta. Meir Halevi. He was one of the big menagdim of the Rambam in his times. He was the Rav of Toledo in the early 1200s. Anyway, the Rambam holds that a person is chayav misa only if. So it has to be when he says when we're saying over here that he says Yaka Yosi Es Yosi. So you have name one that he's saying that name one of Hashem should strike or otherwise fight with name two. The Rambam learns that one of those names has to be either the name Havaya or Yudke Vavke, and the second one can be any of the names of Hashem that are used, that any of the names of Hashem that we're not allowed to erase, such as Tzvokos or Shakai or whatever. So in other words, according to the Rambam, if you were to say, for example, that Yakesh Shakai as Yudke Vovke, for example, then that would make him Chayiv Misa. Then the Rambam brings an opinion that some say that the it can't be only Adnai, it has to be the name Havaya for one of them. The Rambam says, I disagree with that, and I say that Adnai is also. The Ramah asks on the whole thing, where are you getting that the other name can be any of the names of Hashem, such as Shakai or Tzvokos or whatever? The fact is, the Gemara is going to say that has to be Shem HaMiyuchad. It says further down on the Amud. So the Chachmei Lunul, the Chachamim of Lunul in the south of France, who were among Rambam's big defenders, they wrote a letter to the Ramah arguing in favor of the Rambam. They went back and forth on this. A grandson of the Rambam named Rabbi Yeshua HaNogid got into it at one point, and he points out that when the Gemara further on says Shem HaMiyuchad, doesn't just mean the name Yudke Vovke, like you want to say Rama. He says any name that's used specifically for Hashem can be called Shem HaMiyuchad. Shem HaMefurash would be specifically Yudke Vovke, but Shem HaMiyuchad can include also names like Elikim and Tzvakos and so on and so forth. So then there's a lot of discussion among the Noisa Kalim of the Rambam about the ins and outs of all of this. Okay. In any case, the Gemara is saying over here that there needs to be two, there needs to be the, that he's cursing Hashem using two names, saying that one of them should strike or whatever the other. So the Gemara says, Menahani, really, where do we know this from? The person says, someone who is Noikiv, Hashem's name, and we're going to talk about soon what the meaning of Noikiv is. And then the pasuk continues. The context is you have the story at the end of Parshas Emor, where the fellow over there, the son of a Mitzri, and the son of a Mitzri and of Shlomis Bas Divri, was found guilty by Moshe's Beis Din and cursed Hashem, and then they brought him to Moshe's Beis Din, and Hashem tells them the person has to be put to death, and then here's the rules about such a thing. Here's the rules about this lav of Birkas Hashem. Anyway, so the pasuk says v'noikiv shem v'gomer v'nokvei shem yumos. So twice in the pasuk it mentions him noikiv Hashem's name. So therefore, so we learn from that that there has to be a double expression like that involved. Okay. So the Gemara asks, "Mimai dehai noikiv lishna de baruchihu." Now, how do you know b'chlal? You're telling me that this word noikiv means to curse Hashem, and again using the euphemism of blessing. And the reason is, we would say dichtiv mo ekov like kaboy kale, because we find Bilam saying, "How can I curse those whom Hashem does not want to curse?" So we see that the ekov and kaboy, which is from the same shodash as noikiv. So you can see that's the basic meaning of the word is to curse. And in that case, you would say v'azarose mehocha. In that case, you would say the warning, because we know always, as we've been discussing the last few dafim, whenever there's a punishment in the Torah for something, there always has to be someplace in the Torah a warning not to do it. So the warning would be because it says in Parashas Mishpatim, elekim lo sekalol, do not curse elekim. Now that word elekim there has a few different meanings. It means the mitzvah over there is not to curse a dayan, but in addition, we can also learn from it that a person is not allowed to curse Hashem. The problem with that is ve'emam mivrazhu. The question is, maybe the noikiv shem Hashem means to make a hole, means to stab, to punch a hole. So it would mean, in other words, the issue would be the noikiv shem Hashem would be a person takes, there's a written name of Hashem on a piece of paper, and he takes a knife and stabs the name. And we find that the shodash nun kuf beis is also used of making a hole, as we find in Malachim, it's in the Haftorah Parshas Shkalim that Yehoyada set up the first pushka the world's first pushka in the Beis Hamikdash, so they could collect money for the repair of the Beis Hamikdash. And the expression is that he took a box vayikav chur bedaltoi, and he punched a hole in the door of it, and then they could put the money into that. So therefore, so you would say so vayikov and so vayikov and vnoikiv is the same shodash, because the nun a lot of times drops out of shoshim. So maybe it means then the isur is to make a hole in Hashem's name, v'azarose mehocha. And the warning would be because the pasuk says v'ibadtem es shmam, it says you should destroy the name of avodah zarah. Loi sasun, and the next pasuk continues loi sasun kein l'Hashem alekechem. Do not do like that to Hashem. From which we learn the whole concept of not destroying name. Of not destroying words of Kedusha or names of Hashem or parts of the Beis Hamikdash, etc. So maybe that's what it means. A person does that, then he's chayav misa. So how do we know that now? Now, but Pnimius in Yonim, it does. But Pnimius in Yonim, we talk about those places, it talks about in Chassidus, based on the Zohar, that yes, when a person does an Aveira, he's, so to speak, causing a hole in Hashem's name, meaning in the connection between Hashem and the world, and therefore in that sense, the Noikiv Shem Hashem does mean that in a deeper sense. But here we're talking about in the sense of Halacha, where how we know that such a thing doesn't make a person Chayiv Misa. And the answer is, But in a shame b'shem v'lecha, because we just said before that there needs to be one, he uses one shame to, so to speak, attack another shame. And if you, and here you don't have that. If you just have a piece of paper that says Hashem's name on it and he makes a hole in it, then you don't have shame b'shem. Well, the Gemara asks, why not? He puts two names of Hashem, one on top of the other, two pieces of paper, each with Hashem's name, and then he stabs it and makes a hole through both of them. The answer is that's not using one name of Hashem to make a hole in the other. That would be he's making a hole in one, and then he's making a hole in the next one. So it still wouldn't satisfy the criteria of v'noikiv shem v'nokve shem yumos, that it has to be that the one shame is being used to attack the other shame. So therefore, so it can't mean that. Okay, the Gemara asks, ve'ema d'chayek shem apuma d'sakina. So maybe what it would mean is, imagine a person goes and writes a person carves a name of Hashem on the tip of a knife, uvazaba, and then he uses the tip of the knife to stab a piece of paper that has Hashem's name on it. So maybe we'd say, then he's chayek misa. And the answer is, that's still not using Hashem's name to attack another name of Hashem. Ha'hu churfa desakinu hu dekaboza. That's the sharp point of the knife is what's making the hole, not the actual name of Hashem. So that still wouldn't be shame b'shem. So therefore, so we can't say that the missa for noikiv shame Hashem refers to making holes in Hashem's name. All right, the Gemara says, "Ema parushi shmehu." Maybe the isser is maybe the chiyuv misa is just for saying the name of Hashem. Rashi says, "Ba'osi yosav upirusheha," saying with the letters of Hashem's name and expressing it. In other words, pirusheha doesn't mean the pirush of Hashem's name. It just means, in other words, that Rashi elsewhere in other places in Shas actually understands that that sometimes when we talk about the Shem HaMiyuchad, as the Gemara is going to say further on, it actually doesn't mean Shem HaVaya, it doesn't mean Yud Kei Vav Kei. There are other places in Shas where Rashi says it means the Shem Ben Mem Beis, the name of Hashem of 42 letters that we get from the initials of the Tefillah Ono B'Koyach. So according to that, when Rashi says over here, but Yosef of Pirusheha would mean that he says out that name, and that would be that the Gemara is asking that maybe for that he's Chayav Misa. Many other Rishonim understand that it just means the name Yudke Vovke. Now, to be sure, it is also to say that name, which is why, in fact, we don't pronounce Yudke Vovke. You're also to say it outside the Bais Hamikdash. But nevertheless, a person is not Chayav Misas Basin for that. He'd be Chayav for something from Hashem for that, but not Misas Basin. So the question is, why not? Maybe even Noikiv Shem Hashem means just that. And we know that the word noikiv can also mean to say the name of something. It says that in Parshas Bamidbar that Moshe and Aaron took these men whose names had been given in Parshas Bamidbar, the names of the Nesiim of the 12 Shvatim, and he had them, and Moshe and Aaron had them help in counting the Shvatim. So we see the word Nikvu means to express the name. And in that case, the warning would be because the pasuk says, "As Hashem alatecha tira," you should fear Hashem, which means to not use Hashem's name unnecessarily. So maybe even Noikiv Shem Hashem means just that he says the name Yudke Vavke, or the shame of there's a shame of 42 letters or whatever, and even without cursing it. Maybe for that reason alone, he's chayav misa. The answer is there's two problems with that. Number one, first of all, again, you don't have the shame b'shem, because just saying Hashem's name, whether we're talking about Yudke Vavke, whether we're talking about the 42-letter name or whatever, you don't have. He's not using one shame to attack. He's not using one shame to attack another shame. So that's first of all, so it wouldn't work because of that. V'oid, and another reason, havilei azharas eser. If you're going to tell me that we're learning the lav to not pronounce Hashem's name, if you're going to tell me that you learn it from the word, from the expression, from the prosik es Hashem alekechatira, that's a mitzvah saseh after all. That's not a lois that said, do not pronounce Hashem's name. That's a mitzvah saseh. Show respect for Hashem, from which there comes, don't speak Hashem's name. V'azharas eser, lo shema azhara. A warning that comes based on an essay is not considered an azhara. An azhara, for there to be a warning in the Torah, don't do such and such. It has to be exactly that. The Torah says, don't do such and such. Not do such and such, and because of that, as a result, you won't do such and such. So therefore, so that can't be a valid azhara, and therefore we wouldn't have a source to say that that would be what the chiyuv misa is for. The Borisema, another possibility, is anyway Omar Kra. In that story of the Ben HaMitzri and in Parshas Emor, the pasuk says that Vayikov Vayikalal. It says he Vayikov and he cursed. Lememra, which tells us klolahu, which lememra the noikiv klolahu, which tells us that the word noikiv in the pasuk refers to cursing. So that also disposes of the previous possibilities that it means making holes, etc. Well, the Gemara says Vidilma ad Ovid Tavayu, so maybe it means he has to be both. Maybe it means he has to speak out the name of Hashem with the osius and also curse. And the answer is Lo Sakodaitach. You can't think that way. Dichtiv, because the pasuk continues. Hashem tells Moshe, Hotzes, I'm a kalal, take out the one who cursed and give him skila. V'loiksiv Hotzes and I'm a kalal chola. It doesn't say that he has to be. It doesn't say that he's being executed for the fact that he was noikiv and makalal. Shema he. So we see that it's all one thing. Noikiv. The definition of noikiv is makalal. Now, to be sure, in order for him to be Chayiv Misa, he does have to use names of Hashem, as we said in the Mishnah. He has to do Shem B'Shem, but in other words, for example, he doesn't have to be doing, it doesn't have to be that he's saying the 42-letter name of Hashem, and it doesn't have to be that there's two separate things, that he says Hashem's name, and then separately he says the Yaka Yosi Yosi formula. It's just one. He does that, and with that alone, he's Chayiv Misa. So now the Gemara is going to go. Now the Gemara is going to bring a brisa that's going to darshan certain details in the pasuk over there. The pasuk, so you have the story. This fellow was Mekalel, and it says they brought him to Moshe, and Moshe wasn't sure what to do with him because at that point Hashem hadn't told Moshe yet that there is a chiyuv misa b'chlal for a person who blasphemes like that. Like this, Rashi mentions on the pesukim over there that unlike the Mekoshish Eitzim in Parshas Shlach, where they knew that he's chayiv misa, they just didn't know which one because it already said in the Torah that the person violates Shabbos, he's chayiv misa. Here with the Mekalel, they b'chlal didn't even know whether he's Chayav Misa, so Moshe had to ask Hashem, and Hashem tells him that yes, he's Chayav Misa, and Hashem gives him the details of that mitzvah. So the pasuk starts off by saying ish ish ki yikalal alekav, a man, if he curses Hashem, then he's guilty and he's Chayav Misa. So the Braisa says, so Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, when it says ish ma tamad lema, why, so it could have just said ish. Why does it say ma tamad lema ish? Why does it repeat the word ish? L'rabba says, so ovri kechavim shem uzhoran al birkas Hashem ki Yisrael. From this we also add that goyim are just as chayev to not know, they also have a mitzvah not to curse Hashem, and that they're chayev mitzvah for it just like a Jew. There's a few other places in the Torah where it introduces a mitzvah with ish ish, and we sometimes say that as well, that it includes a goy as well. So he also the ein ne'erog and ela b'sayif. However, the Braisa continues that if a goy, that there is a difference though, that unlike a Jew who were to do this, who, as we said in the Mishnah, is chayiv skila, and we're going to work that out later on. And here actually, we don't need to work it out really. The pasuk actually says rogim yugim or kol ha'eda. This is one of the few places in the Torah out of the 18 that we learned a few days ago. There only a few of them does the Torah say in so many words that they're chayiv skila, and the Megadif is one of them. So, but unlike that, a ben noyach who does the same thing would get a nerog and elabas sayif if he gets executed only with sayif, only by hereg, only by being beheaded. Shekol misa hamura b'bnei noyach, in general, any time that a ben noyach is chayiv misa, eina ela b'sayif is only strictly with sayif. None of the other three misas based in apply to a goy. Rashi points out because the dinim of Bnei Noach are primarily in Parashas Noach, after the Mabul, and the pasuk, the expression of the pasuk is that ba'odam domo yishofech, that through man his blood will be spilled, and you can really only say there's spilling blood with hereg because out of the four Mrs. Beis Din, that's the only one that really involves literally spilling his blood. Tosfos points out, by the way, we find first of all, there's an opinion later on in the Perek. We're going to learn there's a different opinion that the one actually on Amud Beis. We're going to talk about the Missa, the one Missa for not on Amud Beis, rather. We're going to learn later on Nun Zayin Amud Beis, rather, that the one Missa for Bnei Noach actually is Chenek. The Gemara is going to bring an opinion later. Tosfos points out we have the story with Tamar where she was about to be executed for Znus, and it was going to be burning. But Tosfos says that was kind of a special case. It's now really she wouldn't have been mechayiv misa because all she was a shemeres yavam. When they were machmir on her and they're going to be mechayiv her misa, then they treated her like a bas koyin because she's a daughter or granddaughter or whatever of Shem who was a koyin. Okay, but in any case, basically when it comes to bnei noach, it's only sayif or according to one opinion, and the Gemara later on only chenek. Okay, so the Gemara asks the Homa Hocha Nafka. So you're telling me that you're learning from the words ish that a goy who does Birkas Hashem is also Chayiv Misa? Mehosam Nafka. Don't we learn that from a different pasuk? On Omid Beis, we're going to quote a pasuk that Hashem says to Adam Rishon, Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Adam Lamer, and we have the Shem Hashem in that pasuk, the name Yudke Vovke in that pasuk, Zu Birkas Hashem. That refers to a warning to Adam and all future of, and all of humanity after him. That they're also to curse Hashem's name. Therefore, so we learn it from that. What do we need the words ish? What do we need the words ish for? And the answer is Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Napcha leNitzrucha Ela L'Rabbis Sakinuyin. The Chiddush, what we it's true from the word Hashem in that pasuk in Parashas Bereishis. We're going to learn the basic fact that a goy is also to do this. From and it's chayev misa for it. From here, from the words ish, we're including also the kinuyim. Now we don't mean a kinuy like we meant in the Mishnah, like Yosi. We mean in other words other alternate names of Hashem that are used. Rashi learns it means, for example, names like Elikim and Shakai and Svakos and whatnot that are used also as names of Hashem instead of Yudke Vovke. The Rambam learns that it also includes names of Hashem in various Goyish languages. So the word God in English, the word Dieu in France, etc., would all be included in this definition of kinuyim as well. Now the point is. That the point is a Yisrael, a Yid who does that is not chayiv misa for that, but by a goy he would be chayiv misa for that. So Valiba did a mayor, and this would follow the mayor. Now, actually, we're saying over here, this Braisa is following the mayor who says that even a Yid would be Chayav Misa for that. So now this Braisa is saying that for that a Goy is also Chayav in it as well. The Tanya, as we learn in another Braisa, the Pasuk says, Ish ki yikalalikov, man, if he curses his God, v'nosachete, then he will bear his guilt. So, ma tamad loyma, what is the Pasuk coming to tell us? V'alek v'anem v'nokiv shem Hashem mos yumas. The very next Pasuk says that someone who curses Hashem's name is chayiv misa. Given that the Pasuk is saying someone who blasphemes the name is will be put to death, so you would think maybe that includes only the Shem HaMiyuchad, maybe that includes only name only the Shem HaMiyuchad. Now again, here you have this is the source of that machloikus between the Rambam and the Rama that we were talking about before, where the Rambam learns that Shem HaMiyuchad over here means the name Havaya and the name Adnai, and therefore that there has to be that involved in the klala in order for the person to be chayiv misa. Whereas again, and then the Rambam again brings another opinion that says only Yudke Vovke, but the Rambam says I don't agree with that, and the Rama argues for that opinion that it should be only Yudke Vovke based on this Gemara over here that uses the word Shem HaMiyuchad. Anyway, minayin l'rabas kol hakinuyin. How do we know that it also includes the various kinuyim, the various alternate names of Hashem? Talmud Lema, ish ki yikal lalekav mikol mokam. Therefore, the pasuk says a person curses his God, meaning no matter what. There, it doesn't use the name Havaya, so alekav means his Elokim, and we see that also he's chayiv misa. Divrei Rav Meir. Nacham say no. Al shem amiyuchad b'misa. If he uses the shem amiyuchad, then he's chayav misa. Val kinuyin ba'azhora. If he uses any other name of Hashem, then we have, as we said before, there's an issue in the Torah, elikim loisakalal, which includes that to not curse Hashem. But for that, there would only be an azhora. For that, he would only be oivan alav. He wouldn't be chayav misa for it. So we see that a mayor is mechayev for the kinuyim as well, and therefore the previous braisa that says ish ki yikal lalikov includes goyim as well, includes bnei noach as well. Then that would be strictly according to the mayor. Whereas the chachamim wouldn't the chachamim were saying who hold that by kinuy there's only an azhara, then they would hold that that the Goy is also potter from it. Tosfos explains that, in other words, we're not going to assume that we're not going to assume that that if the Yid is not that if the Yid is not chayev for it, then the Ben Noach should be. We're going to assume. It's true by Bnei Noach, because we're now going to start talking all about the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach. It's true that by them you don't have the concept of Shoigig, and there's a number of other differences between them and us as far as the culpability for being over on their mitzvahs. But still, if you have a case where Yid is completely potter from Missa, then we don't, on the basis of that same pasuk, we're going to say that he's Chayav Missa, not logical. So therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak Napcha can be telling us that only Rabbi Meir would hold that a Goy is Chayav for Birkas Hashem using a kinui, whereas the Chachamim would disagree with that. However, the Gemara says, now, though, that explanation of Rabbi Yitzchak Napcha then disagrees with Rabbi Yasha. Rabbi Yasha holds that indeed that there is a difference in that regard between a Yid and a Goy. The Amr of Miyasha, Ben Noach, Shabirachas Hashem Bekinuyim, Chayev, that Lorabonon Chayev, Ben Noach, who curses Hashem, even using a Kinui, would be Chayev, even according to the Rabbanon. Not like Rabbi Yitzchok Napcha says, that only Rabbi Meir would be Mechayev in Misa. Rabbi Yasha says that even the Chachamim would agree that he's Chayev Misa as well. My timer, because the Pasuk continues, because the post continues, kager ka ezrach, a ger and a native-born yid are the same in this regard. The chof between each of them, the chof before each of them, means they're exactly equal. You have that style in a number of places in Tanakh where a chof before one word and a chof before the second word means that they're exactly the same. So kager ka ezrach, the pasuk says, and it continues, benokvei shem yumos, that when he blasphemes Hashem's name, then he's put to death. Implying, so you have the din applies to a born yid as well as to a ger, but now the question is why. Now the question is why would we need to say that? Why does the pasuk need to stress that? Any mitzvah applies equally to a ger tzedek as it does to a regular yid. So therefore, we can learn from that ger ve'ezrach hu de'inin benok ve'shem, only when it comes to a ger or an ezrach, a ger or a born Jew, only then do we have this concept that. That there has to be benok v'shem, that there have to be the that he uses the actual shem amiyuchad aval oved kechav mafilu bekinui, but a goy would be chayev misa, a goy would be chayev misa for cursing Hashem even using a kinui. So according to Rabbi Yitzchak Napcha, only Rabbi Meir holds that. According to Rabbi Yasha, both the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir would agree to that. And in fact, indeed, the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yasha's opinion, the result being, again, as the Rambam says, if a goy, so with a yid, there has to be, again, according to the Rambam, it has to be that one of the two names of Hashem that he uses is either the name Havaya or the name Adnai, and the other one can be any of the names of Hashem that can't be erased, any of the names of Hashem that have Kedusha because they're used specifically of Hashem, such as Elikim and Shakai and Tzvokos and so forth. Whereas for a Ben Noach, even if he were to use God or Du or Bog in Russian or whatever, then he'd be Chayev Misa for that because those are included in Kinuyim as well. Okay, the Gemara says, "V'Rav Meir Hai Kager Ka'ezrach Mai Oved Lei." Well, according to the Meir, according to the Miyasha, we're saying that both the Chachamim and that the Chachamim would learn from the words kager ke'ezrach that there's a difference between a Jew and a ger on the one hand and a goy on the other hand. So what is Rav Meir, who said before that a yid is chayev misa even using a kinui, and he uses that a ben noach is chayev for a kinui from ish, hai kager ke'ezrach mai oved lei. So what is he doing with this pasuk kager ke'ezrach? And the answer is, Ger v'ezra, he says, as we said before, Ger v'ezrach b'skila, aval oved kechavim b'sayif. This that we said before, that a ben noach gets sayif, gets his head chopped off. So that we learn from this pasuk, kager ke'ezrach, meaning only a ger and an ezrach, as the psukim are saying over there, is chayiv skila. But by a goy, it would be a different punishment. And why do we need to say that? Sakrat, after all, we know, as we said before, from a pasuk in Parshas Noach, that every time that a goy is executed for being over on one of his sheva mitzvahs, it is involved sayif. So why would we need a special statement for it over here? Reb Meir would say, sakrat hamina, you would think, hoyov israbu israbu. Listen, in this case, you obviously have where the Torah is including Goyim together with Jews by the words ish ish. So therefore, so you would think once they're included, maybe they're also included as far as the punishment of skila, kamash malan. Therefore, the pasuk is saying with the words kager ke'ezrach that he's chayiv misa. That he's chayiv misa, but the misa would be the same misa for bnei noach and different than ger and ezrach who would get skila. All right. The Gemara says, fine, that takes care within Rabbi Yasha's opinion. So according to the within Rabbi Yasha's opinion, then the Chachamim are using Kager Ke'ezrach to learn that only a Yid, whether a born Yid or a Ger, are Chayev only for the Shema Miyuchad, whereas a Goy would be Chayev for Kinuyim. And Rabbi Meir, who holds that even a Yid is Chayev for Kinuyim, would use it to say that the Goy is Chayev Saif and not Skila like a Yid. What about according to Rabbi Yitzchak Napcha Libet de Rabbanan, who says that according to the Chachamim, either way with a kinui, even a goy is not chayav misa for it? Hi, kager ke'ezrach mai ovidle. Then what is he doing with the pasuk kager ke'ezrach, which implies that there's a difference between a yid and a goy? Now Rashi explains. Why don't we say that it means the same thing? It means to tell us that the goy would be getting saif instead of skila. So the difference is, Rashi says, Reb Meir, who holds that kinuyim are also included, then we say we're saying that in that case, if we're including the goy and we're putting on him an extra rule that we also find that a yid, then we would think that also includes skila and we have to exclude him. But according to Reb Yitzchak Napcha, to begin with, kinuyim are not included. So then, why would we think that a goy should be any different than a yid? Why would we think that a goy's punishment here should be any different than his punishment anywhere else? Why would we think that it should be skila such that we need a pasuk to be memaite? So the answer is he would hold ger ve'ezrach would be in and shame b'shem, because he would hold that it means only when it comes to a ger and an ezrach do we require this that we said in the Mishnah that he has to be using saying that one name of Hashem should attack another one. Aval oiv kachavim loy be'in and shame b'shem, but when it comes to a goy doing that, then we don't require that. As long as he blasphemes Hashem's name, then he's chayev misa for that alone, without using the two names of Hashem, like we said before. So therefore, Marsha explains, in other words, because so when it comes, we would think again when it comes to the misa, we need a drasha for the purpose to say according to the opinion that says that he's chayev for a kinui, then we need a specific drasha to say that he doesn't get the same misa. But here when we're talking about the actual cursing, then we don't need a drasha to say that he gets a different misa, because that's more obvious. However, we do need a drasha to say that the chiyuv for his that the chiyuv for his type of cursing of Hashem would be different. So therefore, the words kager ke'ezrach teach us that point, that he is in fact chayev for that, even though a yid would not be chayev for that. All right, what about ish ish lomali? Well, then why, according to the Chachamim, why does it say ish ish in the first place? To know that a goy is chayev for cursing Hashem, that you know from the word Hashem in the pasuk Vayitzav Hashem Elokim that we're going to talk about on Amud Beis. And according to me, as far as kinuyim, Rabbi Yitzchak Napcha would say that according to the Chachamim, they're not chayev misa for it at all. And according to the Meyasha, we're learning that they are, and we learn it from kager ke'ezrach. So according to the Chachamim, either way, it seems like you don't need the words ish ish. And the answer is fine. Dibur Torah, Kolosh Mnei Adam. Sometimes we find the Torah just speaks in common language, that it's common for to say each person. You say in Tanakh style Lashon Kodesh, you say ish ish, the same way as other things. The same way, for example, yoim yoim means every day. Like in last week's parasha, in the same way as we have many other examples like that where a word is repeated and it means everyone. So ish ish means every person, and it's not meant to teach us anything special, according to the Chachamim. Okay. Having talked about a goy and Birkas Hashem, so now let's talk about more generally, let's start talking about the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. Tana Rabbanan, Sheva Mitzvot Nisavu Bnei Noach. The Bnei Noach were commanded in seven mitzvahs. Now, these mitzvahs are general categories. Each of them does include, many of them do include sub-details. Really, actually, there's a Gemara in Chulin that has an expression that Goyim were commanded in 30 mitzvahs. And then there's a couple of listings that there's a couple of listings. There's a listing from Rav Shmuel bar Chofni Goyin, and there's a couple of other listings from Rishonim that try to break out how you get 30 mitzvahs out of these seven. Take, for example, one of these seven is Arayas. And as we're going to work out in the Gemara, in the Sugya, you're going to have you have several different arayas that are also to Bnei Noach, whereby us Jews, each of those arayas counts as a separate mitzvah. So you have seven mitzvahs that they're commanded. Dinin, the first one is dinim, that they have to have judges to judge between them. Now, here you have a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, what the scope of that is. The Rambam holds it means that you have the other six mitzvahs, so you have to have courts to judge people, to try people who are over on one of these, on one of the other six. So according to the Rambam, in other words, the point of dinim is that they have to have dayanim to judge them, to punish them if they're over on one of these six. But as far as dinim mominus, there's no specific. I mean, they have to have dinim mominus, but there's no particular rules about that. The Ramban, on the other hand, holds that it means that the mitzvah is actually to set up dayanim, and they have to not only to set up dayanim, but that they have to have all the dinim mominus that we Jews have. So pretty much, according to the Ramban, all of Bava Kamma, above Metzia, above Abbas, would apply, and Shavuos and other parts like that would apply to Bnei Noach as much as it applies to Jews. There was a fascinating tshuva of the Ramah about that, which we'll talk more about on Amud Beis as well, Bez Hashem, and involving an actual historical case where the Ramah was discussing about the like this, you know, in our times when it became more possible to go and start talking to the Goyim and convincing them to keep Sheva Mitzvahs. So we know in the early 80s, in the early Mems, the Rebbe began a campaign that we should do that we should be teaching them Sheva Mitzvahs B'Noyach. Until then, throughout most of Jewish history, it was not really very safe to. They were trying to convert us, we didn't really exactly have the opportunity to tell them what our Torah has to say for them to do. But nevertheless, the Ramah has a tshuva on the subject where there was an actual historical case, and we'll talk about it more on Amud Beis, Bez Hashem. Anyway, so that's dinim. Ubirkas Hashem, that we've been talking about so far as blasphemy of Hashem, that's one of the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Ushvichus Damim. V'gezel, they're not allowed to steal. V'evim Menachayim, they're not allowed to eat a limb from a living animal. So those are the seven. Someone once pointed out to me, we had a few years back, actually, we had one of our regulars over here, Aaron, who pointed out, of all things, why is Eivim and Achai important enough to be included among these other seven, among them, together with these other six? And even how often would a person eat Eivim and Achai anyway? And he was pointing out that, I don't know if this was his own chiddush or he found it someplace, but he was pointing out that that in those times before refrigeration, you might well have a person wants to eat a piece of meat. He doesn't want to kill the whole animal because what's he going to do with the rest of the meat? It'll spoil. So he might well cut off a piece of it, and then the animal will continue living, and there he has his meat. So it was common, and it must have been common enough for the Torah to outlaw it and to make it one of the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach. Okay, so those are the seven. Now, there are other opinions. Rab Chanina ben Gamla, or Gamliel, Omer, Af Hadam, Af Al Adam min Achai. He says that if there's another mitzvah, besides that a goy is not allowed to eat Eva min Achai, he's also not allowed to eat blood from a living animal. As the Gemara is going to work out, how where we learn the seven that the Tanakhama said, and where Rab Chanina ben Gamliel gets his eighth one, and so on and so forth. Rab Chidka, Omer, Af Al Asirus. Rav Chidka says that also they're chayev, also they're also to do sirus, to castrate an animal. again, as we're going to learn out later in the Gemara. Rav Shimon Oma Afala Kishuf, Rav Shimon says that they're also chayev, they're also to do any kind of kishuf, any kind of magic, which we're going to talk about the various kinds of magic later in our perek. So Rav Shimon holds that those are all included in the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach. Which according to them means it's not really Sheva. It's however they're included in the mitzvahs Bnei Noach. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi explains what Rabbi Shimon is saying. Kol Omer Parshas Kishuf Ben Noach Muzo Olav. It means when you say Kishuf, it means any of the types of Kishuf that are mentioned in Parshas Shoftim when it says that we Jews are not allowed to do Kishuf. And it's said, and the pasuk goes on and saying, because of these disgusting things that the goyim did, Hashem is removing them from Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, so Rabbi Yossi says that you see from that ben noyach muzer olav. So therefore, anything that it says over there, a ben noyach is also warned not to do it. Namely, the pasuk says, lo yimotze b'chav ma'avi b'noyu b'te b'esh. There should not be found among you anybody who passes his son or daughter through the fire. This is the avoda of molech that we're going to talk about later in the perek. Koisim ksamim, a person who does the magic of koisim ksamim, me'onen u'menachash machashif, all of these are going to be defined later on in the perek. V'choy v'chove v'shoyel ovi yid oidi v'dorish al ha'meisim v'gomer. So in other words, So not just so when we say when Rabbi Shimon is saying afala kishuf, Rabbi Yossi is saying it doesn't just mean the particular type called kishuf, which we're going to talk, which we're called narrowly kishuf, which we're going to talk about later on in the parak, but also kosim and ma'onin and menachesh, even though those are different for us Jews, they're different isurim. For bnei noach, they're also all osur, says Rabbi Yossi, because. The pasuk continues. It continues. The pasuk continues because of these disgusting acts. Hashem is dispossessing the seven nations of Canaan and sending them away, and you're going to take over the land. And Rabbi Yossi points out, you can't punish them unless there's a warning to them. So it has to be. And they must have been warned not to do this. So therefore, says Rabbi Yossi, we can see that all of that is included in the mitzvahs b'nei noach. Okay, continues the Braisa. Rabbi Lozor Omer Afal Kilayim. Rabbi Lozor says that here's another thing B'nai Noyach are also in is Kilayim. Now, what kind of Kilayim? For us Jews, there are four or five, there are a whole bunch of different types of Kilayim. So Rabbi Lozor explains, Mutonim B'nai Noyach Lulish Kilayim. They're allowed to wear Kilayim, that is Shatnez. Velizroya Kilayim. They're also allowed to plant two types of seeds together, like wheat and barley together, even though we Jews were not. All they're also to do is to cross breed two animals together or to cross graft one tree with another. So two of the so of the five types of kilayim that are of five of the five or six types of kilayim that are also to us Jews, says Rabbi Lozor, goyim also bnei noyach also in two of them. So now let's go through Menahani Mili. How do we know all of this? Where does the Tanakhama get his list of seven? Where does Hanani ben Gamliel include also Dam? Where does Reb Chidke include also Sirus? So now we're going to start talking about that. So at Amar Rabbi Yechon and the Amakra, you have a pasuk like this. Vayitzav Hashem Elikim ala Adam Leimer. Hashem Elikim commanded man, commanded Adam to say, Mikoil Eitz Hagan, Ocho Ochol Teuchel, from all the trees in the garden you can eat. And then the next pasuk continues, but you can't eat from the Eitz Hadas. Now, in the simple sense, we would say, in other words, this is an introduction that the Hashem wants to tell him, don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. So he gives as a preface to it, you should know you will be allowed to eat from any other tree. But here we're going to douse in this pasuk phrase by phrase to yield the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. So like this, Vayitzav Elo Adinin. The word Vayitzav in this pasuk is hinting at dinin, at the fact that they have to have judges. According to the Rambam, strictly to judge the other people who violate the other six mitzvahs. And according to the Ramban, it means more generally that they have to have the whole basic legal system as we Jews have the whole system of dinim mominus, and that's included in dinim. Where do we see the Vayitzav has to do with dinim? V'cheinu Omer, we find Hashem says about Avraham, ki yedaitiv, because I know him and I appreciate him, l'man asher yitzav es banav v'gomer, that he will command his sons, etc. And the pasuk continues, lasis tzedakah u'mishpat, that they should do tzedakah and justice. So we see that yitzav has to do with justice. Mind you, by the way, we mentioned tzedakah in the pasuk as well. Whether goyim are chayiv in tzedakah is a question. What it is when we're listing the Sheva Mitzvahs over here, we're listing things where goy has an iser to do such and such. If he does such and such, then he's chayiv misa. So there are rishonim who learn. There's a number of mitzvahs actually that rishonim and achronim talk about to what extent are goyim are bnei noyach chayiv in them. And one of them, in fact, is tzedakah, as we're saying over here. But even if we say there. Even if we say they have a mitzvah, we can say they have a mitzvah of tzedakah. They're receiving a reward from Hashem for doing it, but it's not considered one of their. It's not considered one of their mitzvahs because if he would fail to give tzedakah, we wouldn't be chayiv misa for it. The ones that we're talking about over here, the whole list over here, is ones that he's chayiv misa. So in fact, the Ran Taka brings based on this pasuk that goyim are mechuyev in tzedakah as well. And then there's a number of other mitzvahs that we Jews have that there's also a question of whether to what extent are goyim chayiv in them. For example, one interesting one is davening. Reb Moshe writes about this in one of his truvas. He says it's true goyim don't have a mitzvah to daven per se, like we do three times a day. But nevertheless, if he needs something, if he has a tzoro, he needs parnoso, whatever, then yes, he has to ask Hashem for it. That's part of amunah in Hashem. And then a goy is mechuyev in amunah in Hashem. So one point of that is all the years when there's been the whole fight over school prayer and a moment of silence and so on and so forth. So yeah, they have a chiyuv to daven to Hashem when they have a need for something. And so there's a lot of discussion among Rishonim and Achronim about various other mitzvahs. But again, getting back to the Gemara over here. So in any case, the word Yitzaveh is used in connection with Mishpat. So therefore we see that Vayitzav, Hashem Elokim, also refers to having Mishpat, to having Dinim. Hashem, when it says in the Pasuk Vayitzav Hashem Elokim, then it means the word Hashem, Zu Birkas Hashem. This refers to blaspheming Hashem, as we've talked about on Amud Aleph. V'chein Oim, V'neuk of Shem Hashem, Mois Yumos, as we see that name of Hashem is used in connection with the in connection with Makalo. Elikim zu avodis kachavim. Where the next word in the pasuk is elikim, that refers to the iser that bnei noach are not allowed to worship other gods avodah zara. V'chein oim lo yilacha elikim acherim, as we find in this week's parasha, that you shouldn't have other elikim. So therefore, so elikim hints to avodah zara. Al ha'odam zu shvichas damim. The next words in the pasuk that Hashem commanded al ha'odam on man. So in the simple sense, it means that Hashem is commanding to man. But we understand that it also means regarding man. Zu shvichas damim. This refers to the issue of murder. As later on, it says in Parshas Noach, there's one who spills man's blood, then he himself is chayav misa. Lamer is of Gilui Arayis. The next word in the Pasuk, Lamer, refers to the issue of Gilui Arayis for Goyim. V'cheinu Omer, as we find a Pasuk that uses the word Lamer in connection with a matter of Arayis. Lamer, you can say, Hein yishalach ishas ishtoi. Imagine a man divorces his wife, v'holcha me'itzer v'hoysel ishacher, and she leaves him and she goes and marries another man. Then the Pasuk says she's not allowed to remarry her first husband, as the Torah tells us in Parshas Kisetze. And Hashem goes on to say that, you know what, with you Jewish people, you're acting like that, as though Chas v'Shalom, I've divorced you, and you're going and getting involved with Avodah Zarah, but I'm going to still be willing to take you back in Tshuva, because I'm, so to speak, going to override that din between me and you. The point is, now Tosfos points out, that particular din, that if a woman was married to somebody else, she's not allowed to return to her first husband, that's not one of the arayas, that's also to Bnei Noach, that's only also to us Jews. Nevertheless, though, we see that lamer is used in connection with a matter of arayas, with a matter of issues. So the word lamer in the pasuk to Adam Rishon is referring to Gilui Arayis. Next, Mikoil Eitz Hagan, Hashem continues by telling Adam from all the trees in the garden. That means veloy gezel. That means not anything that's stolen. In other words, Hashem is saying, Hashem is telling him, you should know everything that's in all the trees in the garden, except for the Eitz Hadas, are available to you, implying anything that's not available to you, you can't eat. Anything that's not available to you, you can't take. So therefore, that implies that he can't take gezel. And ochel toichel v'loy evim menachai. When it says eat, you should eat, that implies you're only allowed to eat something which is ready to be eaten now, namely not evim menachai, because a living animal is not generally meant to be eaten. A living animal is meant to have in order to is meant to keep around in order to have children. So therefore, so we learn from that the concept of evim menachai. We're going to talk about later on in the Perek, we're going to talk about Bechlal, whether Adam was allowed to eat meat at all. So if he wasn't allowed to eat meat, then what's the special Isser on Eiv Menachai? So there's a couple of possibilities. Tosfos mentions the point. It means, Rashi mentions it on the Pesukim in Parashas Bereishis as well, Adam wasn't allowed to kill any animal for eating. But if an animal dies on its own, Adam would have been allowed to eat it, and they would have been allowed to eat it until after the Mabel. And then after the Mabel, they can even kill animals. And then the point is that Eiv Menachai, even if a limb falls off an animal on its own, then he would be Osir, and he'd be Chayiv Misa for it. And then the Yad Ramah disagrees with that and says, so that's according to Tosfos. So the Yad Ramah disagrees with that and says that no, what it means is that yes, Adam is also to eat any meat, but he'd be chayiv misa only for Eiv Menachai. And then there's yet a third possibility. We mentioned yesterday the Rashbash, a late Acharon. So he explains that actually Rabbi Yochanan would disagree and say that Bechlal Adam was allowed to eat meat. Later on, the Gemara is going to say on Daf Nun Tes that he wasn't, but Rabbi Yochanan can disagree with that. So that's how we learn the seven mitzvahs from that pasuk, says Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara continues, Ki osir Rabbi Yitzchok toni ipcha. When Rabbi Yitzchok came from Eretz Yisrael, he taught the opposite. He flipped around two of these. So again, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Vayitzav refers to dinim, and Elikim refers to Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Yitzchok flipped those two around. Vayitzav zu avodas kachavim, Elikim zu dinim. That the word Vayitzav hints that a Ben Noach is not allowed to worship idols, and Elikim refers to that they have to have dinim. Well, you want to ask, in that case, how so? B'shleima elikim zudinim. To say the word elikim refers to dinim, fine, we can understand. As the pasuk says, in connection with shomrim, that they come before elikim, which as at the beginning of the Masechta, we learned that elikim means dayonim. Specifically, we said it meant dayonim with smicha. So therefore, we see elikim means dayonim, and therefore we can understand from that they have a mitzvah of dinim. Elavait sav zu avodah zarah mai mashma. Where do we get that vaitzav should refer to avodah zarah? And the answer is, so the answer is within that you have a machlokas. Rav Chista v'Rav Yitzchok bar Avdimi. Rav Chista and Rav Yitzchok bar Avdimi argue about how Vaitzav comes to mean Avodah Zarah. Chad Omer, one quotes a pasuk from the Torah. Soru maher min aderech asher tzivisim. Hashem says to Moshe, the Jewish people have just made an eagle. They've quickly gone away from the way in which I commanded them. Also, lahem v'gomer, and they've made for themselves an eagle. So we see that the word sivisim is used in connection with avodah zarah. V'chad Omar, the other one between Rav Chista and Rav Yitzchok bar Avdimi, says he was a pasuk from Nevi'im. Oshuk Ephraim retzutz mishpat. Oshuk Ephraim, Ephraim is being wronged by his enemies. The enemy Ephraim, referring to the kingdom of the Aseret HaShevatim, because it began with Yerovam, who was from Shevet Ephraim, is being wronged and harassed by his goyish enemies. Retzutz mishpat. He's being crushed by the judgment of Hashem. In other words, so like this, they're being attacked constantly by the goyim surrounding Eretz Yisrael. The real reason is because Hashem is judging them. Ki hoyel hoylach kolach achrei tzov. Because they decided to follow tzav, to follow tzav, which means command, the commands of the Nevi Baal. The Nevi Baal are telling them, worship Baal, worship other avodah zarahs, and they're listening to those commands and they're doing that. And therefore, the Navi is saying, because of that, they're in trouble, and because of that, they're constantly being harassed and attacked by their enemies. So we see that the word tzav refers to avodah zarah. An interesting thing, by the way, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, the Rebbe's father, brings a point that tzav, this is this word tzav, tzadik vav, is gematria, is the same gematria as Kael Adnai, which it's brought in Sifrei Kabbalah, that those are the names of Hashem that make our world of Asiya. You have Batsilus Briyei Tzira Asiya, so you have the world of Asiya is powered by the names Kael Adnai, and in Asiya you have so much concealment of course that it's possible even for Avodah Zarah to exist, which is why we're saying over here that tzav has that the word tzav over here hints at Avodah Zarah. All right, the Gemara says, "My benayu." What's the practical difference whether we learn the word "sav" whether we learn "vayitzav" means avodah zarah from the pasuk about the eagle or from Hosea's pasuk about how the Jewish people are in trouble for worshiping avodah zarah? The answer is, "Ikke benayu akum sha'asa avodah zarah v'lo yishtach v'lo." What happens if a goy makes an idol but he didn't bow to it yet? Alamanda Amma also, according to the opinion that we learn from the story with the eagle, it says also lahem ego masecha. So therefore, we would learn mishas asiya mechayev. As soon as he makes the idol, even before he worshipped it, he would already be chayev nisa. Ulamanda Amma ki hoil holach. As opposed to, if you learn from the pasuk, because he decided to go after avodah zarah, ad de ozel bahado, ad de ozel basra or polachla, then it would only be if he actually follows the avodah zarah and worships it, would he be chayev nisa, but not if he just makes it. So before we continue, the Gemara is going to ask on that nafka minna. But an interesting point is that, we're going to talk about this truva of the Rama that I was referring to before. Rabbi Akiva Eger references it here in Gilyon Hashas. The Rama points out, for one thing, we're trying to figure out the nafka minna between Rav Chista and Rav Yitzchok bar Avdimi. Why is the Gemara not trying to tell us also? Why isn't the Gemara also focused? What's the nafka minna between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yitzchok? Rabbi Yochanan is learning dinim from the word vayitzav, from vayitzav. Rabbi Yitzchok is learning it from Elikim. Why doesn't the Gemara ask about the nafka minna between that? So he goes into an arichus explaining that there is a very clear nafka minna between them, and the nafka minna would be, like we were talking about before, is a ben noyach chayev in all the dinim mamonis that Jews are chayev in, or would we say like the Rambam, that they're just chayev, they have to judge their six mitzvahs, and they have a concept of gezel, but basically they can make up their own legal system, they're not required to follow ours. So the Rama explains that that's the nafka minna between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yitzchok over here is basically that machloikas of the Rambam and the Ramban, and he learns that since the Gemara now is discussing Rabbi Yitzchok's opinion, and seven, because of several other proofs, the halacha must be like Rabbi Yitzchok, and the fact that we learn, for the fact that according to him, we learn dinim from the word elikim, teaches us that they have to have the same dinim, the same, because after all, alakim, and in connection with dinim omenus, is mentioned in connection with the dinim of a shomer. So therefore, we learn from that that all the dinim of dinim omenus that apply to us also have to apply between goyim as well. So the Rama brings it, therefore mentions the nafka minna of it. In his times, there was a big argument going on. There was a great rav in a great rav in Italy. He was actually a distant relative of the Rama, Rameyer of Padua, who was printing a new edition of Rambam. He had arranged with a local Goyish printer in Venice to print a new edition of the Rambam with his own corrections and notes and all that. And then another rival Goyish printer, also in Venice, started printing a pirated edition of it. So now that Amar deals with the Nestruva, he says, on the basis of this, since we're saying that, as he explains, Rabbi Yitzchak holds like the Ramban, that the goyim are chayev in the same dinim of dinim momenus as we Jews are, and since the halacha is, since as the Ramah learns in the Struva, the halacha is like Rabbi Yitzchak, the result is that yes, this second goyish printer, in this, at least in this case, especially since he's printing sfarim for the Jewish market, he has to follow our dinim, and therefore he can't go and print this pirated edition of him, of his, and then be masig gvul. And then Ramah discusses in the Struva that therefore the halacha would be that the second printer has to stop. In the end, it became a much bigger machloikas. Unfortunately, the goyim themselves got involved as well. Eventually, from that came the Pope at that time decided to deal with the whole thing by ordering that all copies of Shas anywhere in Italy should be burnt, and that they should cease printing Shasin over there. From then on, printing of Shasin moved to other countries. This Truva of the Rama was all part of that. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. So again, the Gemara is saying that the nafka minna between Rav Chista and Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, as far as where we learn that sav, that vayitzav means avodah zarah, would depend whether the goy just made the idol or whether he actually worshipped it when he's chayav misa. Omar Rava, but Rava says, why is there anybody who says that if a goy makes an avodah zarah and doesn't actually worship it, that he would be chayev? V'hatanya, we learn in a braisa. Here is the basic rule as far as shev mesuk neneach. Be'akum, when it comes to avodah zarah. We have to realize, by the way, here in the Gemara, sometimes we're using the word akum to mean the goy himself, and sometimes we're using it to mean avodah zarah. Unfortunately, the censor has messed things up a lot. Anyway, ba'akum or avodah zarah, the rule is like this: dvarim shebeistin shoyistrom misin alehen. Any kind of action with avodah zarah, where a Jewish beistin would give a Jew skiller for doing it, which we're going to learn later on in the parak, what that includes, ben noyach muzhar alehen. Then a ben noyach is also warned not to do these things, and if he does, then he's chayev misa as well. Ein beistin shoyistrom misin alehen. But if you have anything. That if you have anything that a based in Shor Yisrael does not execute a person for, ain ben noyach muzra aleihen, then a ben noyach is not also to do these things either. So Rava says, lamauti mai, what would that be excluding? Lav lamauti akum sha'asa avodah zarah v'lei shtachvela. Wouldn't it include the case where he makes an idol but he doesn't worship it yet? So if a yid makes an idol, there's an isur lav involved, lo sasa l'chofesel, but he's not chayiv misa for it. So then the rule, according to this braisa, would be that a ben noyach is not executed for it either. And nobody disagrees with this braisa. So, and Rav Chista and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi being Amoroyim can't argue with it. So it's clear, therefore, that if a goy makes an avodah zarah, nothing happens until he actually worships it. And the answer is like, No, the braisa might be excluding where he hugs or kisses the avodah zarah. So then we would say, if a Jew does that, he's not chayiv misa. Again, he's over on a lab, but he's not chayiv misa for it. So he'd get malchus for it. So a goy wouldn't be also on it at all. But to make an idol, maybe indeed he would already be chayiv misa for. So they want to ask gifu for nishuk demai. Well, what's the case we're talking about? Ilema kedarka. Do we mean if that's the normal way of worshiping this particular avodah zarah? Bauk tolahu. Then a Jew who does that would be chayiv misa, as we're going to learn later in the parak, that you have with every avodah zarah, you have a particular way that this avodah zarah is worshipped, and a person is chayiv misa for that, and then you have four basic ways of worship which apply across the board to all avodah zarahs. So if the normal way of worshiping the Sefer Zara is hugging and kissing it, then he'd be chayav misa. Elamot so fine, we're talking about it's not the normal way. Let's say we're going to talk about later in the parak about Pe'ur and Merkulis, where there were other ways of worshiping them. So now if a person hugs the idol, he were yid, wouldn't be chayav misa for it, he'd be over on a lav. So now a goy, if he hugs the idol, nothing happens to him. But not necessarily is the Braisa addressing the case of making an idol and not worshiping it. Maybe indeed we could say that at least according to one opinion, he would be chayav misa for that. Okay. The Gemara says, dinin b'nei noyach ifkud. You're telling me that the b'nei noyach are commanded to have dinim, to have a system of justice. V'hatanya, but we learn in a b'raisa. Esther mitzvahs nisavu Yisrael b'mora. In Mora, as we had in last week's parasha, where after Kriyas Yamsuf, the next place where they camped was in Mora. So the Jewish people were given 10 mitzvahs in Mora. Sheva shekibul alein b'nei noyach, the seven that b'nei noyach had previously accepted on them, v'hosifu alein dinin v'shabbos v'kibud avayim. And in addition, Hashem also gave them the mitzvahs of dinin, shabbos, and kibud avayim. So we see that they were given it, not the rest of the b'nei noyach. Tosfos wonders, by the way, what about Mila? What about Ginan Noshe? But in any case, here the Gemara is just saying that you have seven plus another three. There are also different opinions in different places, different midrashim and all, about what the three were. There's a medrash someplace that says that Parah Adumo was one of them, etc. Anyway, but here the Gemara is given this list. Where do we see this? Dinin dichtiv sham sam loy chokum mishpat, because the pasuk says there Hashem gave them a choik and a mishpat. So the word mishpat refers to justice, refers to dinim. Shabbos for kibud avayim dichtiv kashet sivcha Hashem alekecha, because in the Dibris, as they repeated in Parashas Vaschanan, by both Shabbos and kibud avayim, it says, "As Hashem your God commanded you." And now Rashi explains this is not just Moshe himself saying in Parashas in Parashas Vaschanan when he's telling over the Aseret HaDibros to the Jewish people. He's saying you should know you heard these from Hashem 40 years earlier. Rather, this was actually said as part of the Aseret HaDibros on when the Torah was given on Shavuos of that first year. Then Hashem said there Kashet Sivcha Hashem Alekecha. Well, where would Hashem have commanded them earlier? In Mara. So v'om Rabbi Yehuda kashet sivcha b'mara. So therefore, so we see that dinim were given in Mara, not to the rest of Bnei Noach. And the answer is Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avuah, lo nitzuch elal eda ve'edim v'hasra. What was given in Mara especially was the point that you have to have an eda, you have to have a base din of a certain number, and that as we've been learning in the Masechta 23, and then you have to have edim, you have to have two edim, whereas Bnei Noach you can have only one, and then you have to have hasra. Those details were added in Mara, but the basic concept that you have to have dinim that existed already is one of the Shev Mitzvos Bnei Noach. So the Gemara asks, then what does that mean? That it says that they were added to them dinim, which implies that there was a whole new mitzvah that they didn't have before. These are just details within the concept of dinim. So how can you call it hisifu aleihem? That's according to Rashi. The Yad Rama brings a different explanation. That the question is. Then why is the Braisa saying hosifu aleihem fakert? It's reducing things. Until now, you can have one aid or one dayan. Now you have to have within that. You can't have any case. You can't just have one dayan. You can't just have one aid. You need to have 23 dayanim and 2 aidim. That's a reduction then in a way because it means you have fewer cases of dinim rather than more. Okay, so that's not the valid answer. Ella omar rav alei nitzucha ella the dinik knosis. Fine. The chiddush is that in Mora they were given dinik knosis. The whole concept that sometimes you have to pay something extra, like tashlum kefil, tashlum abba v'chamisha, you have to pay a fixed amount, like for example, 50 for a mefata, 30 for shur killed an eved, and so forth. That concept was given in Mara. So the Gemara says, "Akati v'hisifu b'dinim mibayle." Fine, but then the expression should be that it was added within dinim. In dinim, there was added also the concept of dinik knosis. The chiddush is in Mara that Hashem told them they have to set up a beis din in every country or every province of the country and in every individual city. So that was added in Mara, whereas before that you could just say you didn't need as many bota dinim. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? V'chol b'nei noach le'ifkud. So you're telling me b'nei noach do not have that mitzvah. V'chol tanya, k'shem sh'nitztav yisrael lo'hoi shabbat dinin b'chol pelach o pelach o'vchol le'irvir. Just like Jews have a mitzvah to have a based in every province and in every city. Kach nitztav b'nei noach lo'hoi shabbat dinin b'chol pelach o pelach o'vchol le'irvir. The same way the b'nei noach have the exact same thing. So the answer is Ella Omar Rabba Hai Tana Devi Menashehu. The answer is the Braisa, who the Tana of the Braisa about Mora, about what was taught to them in Mora, that is a Tana from the Yeshiva of Menashe, the Mapik Dach Va'ayel Sach. Now, from the Sheva Mitzvahs that we had at the bottom of Amud Aleph, we had the basic list of Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, according to the Tana Kama, Tana Dvei Menashe takes out two of them and substitutes two others. He takes out Dalad and Chof, the Dalad representing Dinim and the Chof representing Birkas Hashem, and instead of Ayel Sach, instead he puts in Sirus and Kilayim. At the top of the Amud, we have Reb Chidka had said that Goyim are also in Sirus, and then Reb Elazar had said Kilayim. So now, Satona Dvei Menashe holds that is the list of Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach. So according to him, Dinim are not included in the first place. The Tona Dvei Menashe, Shev Mitzvah and Stavu Bnei Noach, and the list according to Tona Dvei Menashe is Avodizor of Gilarayus Shvichus Damim, Gezel, the Eva Menachai, Sirus, the Kilayim. So according to him, Dinim is not part of the original Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach in the first place, and therefore, yes, so he could have then that Hashem was adding that concept. So Hashem taught the Jewish people for the first time in Mora that you have the concept of Dinim. But according to the other Chachamim, we don't have to say that. Okay, the Gemara brings other opinions. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Odomirishon Lenit Stava El Alvad Azor Bilvad. Here we were saying that Hashem had told Odom all Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, and we learned it from the pasuk. Right, Tzava Hashem Lekim. Now Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that whole concept. Bnei Noach have Sheva Mitzvahs, but Odomirishon himself was commanded only not to worship Avodah Zarah. Shenema Right, Tzava Hashem Lekim Ala Odom. Namely, it means Hashem Lekim commanded on man. That means, in other words, Hashem commanded man, don't have any other god. Have only me as a god and nobody else. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir, Omer, Afal Birkas Hashem. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir says that Adam had two mitzvahs, that and Birkas Hashem. Now, we're not counting, by the way, of course, Adam had the mitzvah not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. We're not counting that because that's a one-time mitzvah. We're talking about mitzvahs that were given for all time. According to Rabbi Yehuda, only one, and according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir, only two. He holds that Birkas Hashem is included as well, because again the Vaitzav Hashem Elokim Al Adam means accept me as God and don't curse me. The Yesh Oimim Afal Adinim. Some say that Adam was given three. Some say that he was also given the concept of dinim, because that would also be included in Vaitzav Hashem Elokim, that you should be afraid to violate. So be afraid of me to violate my mitzvahs rather than don't be afraid of a boss of a dom to go and change and pervert justice. So we would learn from that the concept of dinim, that dayanim have to judge honestly and all of that. So the Gemara continues. Keman ozla ha de Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav. Which of these opinions does it follow? This that Rav Yehuda, the Amora, says in the name of Rav, that from the words Vaitzav Hashem Elokim, we can learn the following three mitzvahs. First of all, Elokim ani loy tekaloluni. I am a Hashem, therefore do not curse me. Second of all, Elokim ani loy temiruni. Second of all, I am Hashem, so don't exchange me for any other. And third, Elokim ani yehei meroy aleichem. I am Hashem, and therefore you should be afraid of me. Keman ki yesh omim. That would be like the yesh omim who say that those were the three mitzvahs that were given to Adam. Okay, so far we have as follows. So far we have the Tanakama saying that that Adam was given. Says we have the Chachamim saying, the Tanakama saying that Adam was given seven mitzvahs. Everybody agrees that Bnei Noach afterwards were given mitzvahs as well. The question is whether it's the same seven or whether there were extra ones. And then we have we have how much was Adam given. Then we have these different opinions between one and three. And we started talking about the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach and the various other ones that different Tanoim include. And we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, with more discussion about that, what exactly is included and what exactly is and isn't included in the Mitzvahs Bnei Noach.